Episode 80 is going to be a good one. We have, you ready to meet the Japanese spider crab, Mrs. Dreads? We're going to do that. We're going to talk about the five most harrowing unsolved cases of missing people. And then we're going to dive into the meat and potatoes of episode 80. And that's going to be a dingo stole my baby. A dingo ate my baby. Let's get it started.
Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
All right, episode 80. We're knocking on the 100th episode's door, aren't we, Mrs. Dreads? I don't know what the hell we're going to do on that episode, but we got some time to think about it. As always, Otis B. Dreads here, and we got Mrs. Dreads over here riding co-pilot. We got a cram-packed show, so any little small talk, I think I need to get out of the way. Which I'm not good at that, because we got a couple articles this week. One, as like last week, was given to us, looked up, and passed on. Ms. Amy Lynn Russell, she is a patient over there at the Facebook group. Which if you're not, you probably fucking should be.
Yep.
And you know, you can check out the podcast there. We also have a page, but the group, you can get a little more interactive. So check us out over there. Just Night Living Dreads, of course, and no A in Dreads. You can also check us out over there, nightlivingdreads.com. You can listen to the podcast there. You can listen to the podcast on the group page, which will probably just take you back to the .com, to the website. But you can also listen to us on Stitcher, on Spotify. And I'm hoping to get on a few more platforms here lately. Been kind of busy with work, but it'll get there. It'll get there, folks. Hopefully before the 100th episode. Let's just, man, this, we're going to talk, all right, as I mentioned, the Japanese spider crab. This thing is terrifying. And I love crabs. I'm from the East Coast. I've been eating like steam crabs. And it's like, man, can you imagine diving into this thing? What was your first thought when you saw this fucking thing?
How much meat it was on it.
Right. Exactly. You mean, man, I'm going to need a lot of fucking Old Bay seasoning for this guy. This thing is absolutely terrifying. And as always, I will post the link in the description over there at nightlivingdreads.com with the podcast. This thing is absolutely, I don't know, man. It is. It's a thing of nightmares. The Japanese spider crab is thought to be the biggest crab in the world, with a leg span of up to 13 feet and an average weight of 40 pounds. 40 pounds of fucking meat. That's a lot of crab soup. It's a lot of crab cakes. That's a lot of crab.
What could you imagine?
Oh, my! Oh, you know, I can and then I can't, because I don't want to think about that too much. That's just, I love steamed crabs. And, man, I wonder if you can eat that crab, though. You know, we do the blue crabs, you know, out in, you know, Chesapeake Bay and Baltimore area. There's a lot of blue crab, and, you know, they're actually blue, and then you steam them, they turn red. I didn't know people knew that. If you don't know, you fucking do. Is it a certain type of crab that you can eat? Are all crabs edible?
How would you even steam that?
In a pool? I don't know. Do you have pots that big? Maybe you just have to break them up and steam them in pieces.
I don't know.
Even so, you'd need a pretty big pot.
Yeah.
Here's another amazing thing about this thing. It's also likely that the crab has the longest lifespan. He can live up to 100 years old.
Yep.
Wow. Who wants to do that? Spider crab is one of the oldest living species on Earth, dating back a million years. It is a prehistoric fucking being. This thing is, look at that. Look at them claws. Imagine all the meat in that son of a bitch right there.
Yeah.
Wow, man. That's,
That's if you could eat it, though.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm wondering. I don't know. If anybody knows, please let us know. If you can eat a spider crab, I didn't have time to look that up. That was just the daddy long legs of the sea is what they're called. Because it does kind of look like a daddy long legs. These legs are just massive.
Could you imagine being out there swimming and come across one of those?
Right, that son of a bitch just come crawling up on you. I'm just, you know, I mean, they're so, they look thin. But, you know, you have 13 of them and, or 13, you know, feet worth of that. Man, it could be a lot of power. And you know, going
this
out.
This is gross.
It's creepy. All right, let's move on. And of course, we're going to talk about some unsolved cases of missing people. Some of these we all read through these. That picture right there is I don't know. It's just creepy to me. And we both read through some of these. Which one was the worst? Because there's you can go through the whole story, and we'll mention these, you know, people, and then you can read them for yourself, because, you know, we need some time for the dingo ate my baby. See, I got that. So which one kind of struck you, Mrs. Dreads? There was one that kind of got me a little bit.
It was probably Sodder?
The
family.
Sodder children?
Yeah.
That one's kind of weird.
Yeah.
That one's kind of weird. We have, we'll start with, there was five of them. We'll start with number one, Tara, was it Calico?
Mm-hmm.
I guess. She's 19 years old, and this article says she left her home in New Mexico on September 20th, 1988, to take a bike ride. It was 9:30 a.m., the young woman put on her headphones and headed out for a regular route of about 35 miles. Now, here's the weird thing. She had gotten a flat tire, you know, a few days earlier, and she told her mother that she should look for her if she wasn't home by noon.
Right.
Did she already have a feeling, you think, that, I mean, was she scared? That just seems like a really weird thing for a 19-year-old to say.
But her tire went flat, so maybe she's saying that she's going to ride far enough that if she ain't back by noon,
that
for her mom to come look at her, that her tire went flat.
That tire went flat. Ah, I got you. Okay. I was thinking more, you know, evil shit. from that, she never returned home and was never saw or heard from again.
Nope.
Very strange. You can read this article again. I will have it up there. I do want to mention that how long ago? Let's see. Here it is. A disturbing photograph. Here it is. 10 months after she had disappeared, a strange Polaroid photo was reportedly discovered in the parking lot of a convenience store in Florida. The photo showed a young woman and a boy bound and gagged in the back of a van. The young woman bore a close resemblance to Calico. But it was found that, the FBI concluded, no, this was not her. How could the FBI, how do you do that? What if the mother came up and said, yes, that's my daughter? A mother would know.
Right.
You know, who that, and, you know, I don't think it says here, but, yeah, they said, no, the FBI took care of that, wasn't her.
Right.
Let's move on. here's this is the weird one. Here, we start getting weirder here, the Sodder children, and this is something I've come across in researching for topics. I almost wanted to talk about this at one point, and, this happened on Christmas Eve, nonetheless.
Right.
Okay, you have the Sodder family, okay, let's see, George and Jenny Sodder out of West Virginia, Fayetteville, 1945, taking you back, Christmas Eve. They went to sleep as 9 of their 10 children settled in for the evening. Now, the 10th one, he wasn't there.
Right.
Or she wasn't there. He probably. He was off in the military. So he was older. Around 1 a.m., shortly after their calendar flipped over to Christmas Day, a fire broke out in the Sodder children. In the Sodder home, sorry. George Sodder and his wife escaped the inferno with four of their children, but the other five seemed to just vanish from the scene out of the blaze.
Yeah.
How does that, you know what I'm saying? That's just weird. And then it goes on to say that the father, tried to get back in.
Right.
Yeah, he busted a window, tried to get back in. He was fighting the smoke, the flames. He figured that they were upstairs, you know, huddled away, trying to escape the fire going on, his no children, no evidence of any other five children. It was like the fire started. These kids were taken out of the house before they could get injured, you know, and maybe out a back door or something.
Right.
As you know, George, Jenny, and the other four children, ran out the front door. Why wouldn't you go for all of them? Why wouldn't you try to wake them all up?
Right. It just depends on where they were in the house.
Well, true. Maybe, a panic situation, but, don't have that many children if you can't fucking deal with that.
Well, here's the thing. Figure that they were old enough, that a couple of them were old enough that they could have helped.
Yeah, right. They could have got the younger ones, help with the younger ones, getting them all out. Yeah. I mean, I kind of thought that, too. I don't think it gives their age. I guess we could, in this article.
It does give their age.
In this one?
Yes. Oh, okay. Like 14, 12.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Eight and five or something.
I read it, but maybe I just missed over that. Okay. Yeah. Oh, there it is. Maurice was 14. Martha was 12. Louise? Yeah, 9. Jenny was 8. And Betty was 5. Those were the five that were missing. Just disappeared. No, nothing left behind. Disappeared. All right, let's move on. Number 3 on the list, was it Maura?
It's Maura.
Maura Murray? Mm-hmm. It starts getting, a little bit weirder. Now, one of the next couple ones, I think it's the last one, actually, as I thought was kind of the weirdest. The case of Maura is one that has mystified the police. It's not fucking hard to do. 21-year-old nursing student out of Massachusetts. One day, she just disappeared.
Right.
Maury reportedly sent an email to her professors that said there had been a death in the family, probably hers, and she would be absent for a few days, forever. The young woman then reportedly gathered her things and drove north.
Mm-hmm.
Later that night, around 7 p.m., Murray's car reportedly crashed into a snowbank in Haverhill, New Hampshire. When a driver stopped and asked Murray if she needed help, she reportedly declined. Mere minutes later, a police officer was said to have pulled up and found Murray's Saturn with a cracked windshield and the door locked. Strangely, Murray was gone, vanished. Thin air. What do you think about that one?
I think she's hiding.
You think she's hiding, or was it the driver that stopped?
Yeah, but...
Why do you think she's hiding? Tell me. Tell me more.
Because it states throughout the article that she had gotten into some trouble.
So, maybe she, took her cell phone, ran off in the fucking woods somewhere, and, called for help. Maybe, because the police would come.
Maybe.
Yeah, she thought maybe the passerby, the guy that stopped, would maybe call the police, being she rejected help. And that's why the cops showed up a little bit right after he left. And she probably knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So she maybe, that's good. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. So that might not be a case of, there's not, some, malice intent,
right.
I guess you could say. Because, it's not illegal to, you can be missing if you want.
Yeah.
If you're an adult, you can be missing.
Right.
It's okay. We're coming to our home state here, Ohio. with this next one. Pretty close to us, actually. How far is he? Columbus? Probably about an hour.
Yeah, 45 minutes.
Yeah, about 45 minutes to an hour away. You got Columbus, which, of course, is where the Buckeyes play, Ohio State. And that's where we are going right here for number four on the list. Brian Schaefer,
yep.
A medical student. I think he was also a medical student, right? Kind of hard to read that. I gotta make
yeah.
this bigger, man. Yeah, I think he was. Make this bigger. Never mind. I'll end up fucking things up. March 31st, 2006. Yeah, medical student at Ohio State. He met a friend for a few drinks at the bar called the Ugly Tuna Saluna. It's such a funny name. We got to go there. Nah, I don't want to go there. It's a fucking college bar. I'm 48. I can't deal with them people. It was a Friday night. And that's when, you know, and them crazy college kids, they like to go fucking wild. Hit the bars and restaurants, crowd it all up. Later that night, this 27-year-old, that's Brian, had dinner with his father. The following Monday, he was set to leave for Miami for a vacation with his girlfriend. Schaefer last spoke with his girlfriend by phone around 10 p.m. that night and then went to a few different bars with friends before they ended up at the Ugly Tuna Saluna. Surveillance video shows Schaefer going up an escalator around 1:15 a.m., but it mysteriously never captured him leaving the bar.
Right.
He goes in and never comes out.
Yep.
They have a back door, but I'm sure they got cameras there as well. Mm-hmm. You know, places. Yeah, they got cameras everywhere, especially on a pretty much a college campus.
Yeah, they said they had like a service elevator or something.
Right.
That he could have, but.
So
there's a lot of construction going on.
Right. Yeah. So why would you do that? I think he was last seen. One of the last. Videos that they have of him, he was talking to a couple chicks.
Yeah.
And then just kind of, you know, disappeared after that. Nobody has any fucking clue where this guy's at. Interesting. This is one that I think, this is the one that freaks me out the most. Heather Teague, on August 26, 1995, this is number five, by the way, Heather Teague, 23 years old, was reportedly sunbathing on a beach in Henderson County, Kentucky. Directly across the Ohio River again, fairly close, only about, you know, an hour or so away, or maybe 2 hours, in Newburgh, Indiana. A man told police he was looking through a telescope at her sunbathing, creeper, when he witnessed Teague being dragged into the woods at gunpoint by a tall, shirtless man with a beard.
Yeah.
This is the one that I thought intrigued me the most. Police reportedly searched the beach where Teague disappeared from, but all they found was a part of the young woman's swimsuit. She was sunbathing with no, oh, it may come off in the struggle.
Yeah.
A witness reported recalled a Ford Bronco. It was OJ being near the crime scene that day. Authorities reportedly focused on a Henderson County man named Marty Dill as a suspect. Dill reportedly owned a red Bronco and resembled the sketch of the suspect who allegedly abducted Teague. Also, during a routine traffic stop, police reportedly found guns, knives, rubber gloves, duct tape, rope, and bloodstains in his vehicle. Nothing to see there. Why is he still out and running around? That is like a fucking serial killer starter kit.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. 5 days later, Teague's abduction. The cops find all of this shit in his car.
Yep.
Bloodstains, nothing to see. Anyway, and then 5 days later, this happens to Teague. Dill reportedly died by suicide as police attempted to serve a search warrant on his home. There was still no sign of Teague. He took that shit to the grave. See, this is the story that really, you know, fucking got me. Teague's family, especially her mother, Sarah, reportedly do not think that Marty Dill was involved in Sarah Teague sued the Kentucky State Police for records related to her daughter's disappearance. A judge ordered state police to pay nearly $24,000 for withholding records in the case. 24 years. I don't know what year is on this article, so I can't really say that. They're still searching for
her. Yeah.
You know, they haven't given up hope. I guess you can't fucking do that, can you? You know, you really don't want to. I mean, especially when they're older.
Right.
You know, because you know they at least have a fighting chance. Unlike our topic after a short break and a little talk about our friends over there, TrueCrime7.com, TrueCrime7.store. A lot like our main topic tonight, because we have a baby missing in our topic. That is not so easy, especially in the environment they're at. That's right. We're talking about a dingo ate your baby. That's right. All right. Sit tight. Hang with us. We'll be right back. If you're anything like me, you are a huge fan of true crime and dark humor merchandise. Otis B. Dredd's here to tell you about the best place to get all of your true crime and dark humor swag. That's right, TrueCrime7.store. True crime, spell out 7, SEVEN.store. The only place you need to go for true crime and dark humor. I'm going to tell you what, this place has some really great prices. You can't beat their prices. 30-day money-back guarantee if you are not happy, and I guarantee you will be. Free shipping on orders, $75 and up. 24-hour online support. What kind of stuff can you get, Otis, you may be asking? You can get t-shirts, you can get hoodies, coffee mugs, cutting boards, posters, pillows, and if you search for them over there on Amazon, you can also check out their reading material. That's right, they publish books as well. Stay up to date with all the new merchandise and great deals on all their products. Follow them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, sign up for their newsletter and get all the latest info about new products. Tell you what, you are not going to regret going to TrueCrime7.store, and at the checkout, don't forget promo code NLD to get you a 10% discount on your entire order. That's right, TrueCrime7, SEVEN.store. Tell them Otis sent you. And remember, stay curious, keep it creepy, and don't get murdered. Hey, we're back. Don't get fucking murdered, Mrs. Dredds.
I'll try not to.
Yeah, that's a bad fucking day right there. That really make you feel good about being here now. You made it through the day without getting murdered. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Night Living Dredds podcast. Otis B. Dredds, Mrs. Dredds, and we are talking about some kind of funny stuff, I think, anyway. Not really funny. I guess that's wrong.
No, the story itself's not funny, no. But the come about because of the story, some of it's funny.
Right.
The dingo ate your baby.
You know, that phrase right there has a lot of meaning. I was talking to an older guy, actually, a good friend by the name of Roger. I don't think he'll mind me saying his first name. we were talking about this case. I was telling him, you know, we were going to do this, you know, do the podcast about this. And I was like, you ever heard of the phrase, have you ever heard of
the dingo ate your baby?
And he was like, yeah. He was like, I think that actually happened. I was like, my friend, you're absolutely right. Something along those lines happened. At least that is the final, I guess that's the final decision in this wild, wild case that imprisoned a woman because they said that she murdered her 9-month-old.
Yep.
Little Azaria Chantel Loren Chamberlain. Does she really need that many names? We'll just shorten it up. Azaria Chamberlain. Or just Azaria. She was a 2 month.
That's what I was looking
six
at.
6 day old. I thought she was like 8 months.
That's what I thought.
She looks a little bigger than 2 months in these pictures. All right. Thank you, Wikipedia. Good night. I could have sworn I heard she was like 8 months, 9 months old. You'd be kidding me. Like 2 months, 6 days. Jesus. All right. Well, that's why we're not getting too deep into this. Do your own fucking research. Anyway, one thing that is certain, it happened on August 17th, 1980, on a camping trip to Uluru. Uluru. In the Northern Territory. Down yonder. Down under. Little Azaria just disappeared one night. The story is that her mother claims that a dingo, which we'll get into the story. I'm just trying to give everybody a little overview of what we're talking about. Right. She claims a dingo got into her tent, went in there, picked her up, shook her around a little bit, ran off, and ate her completely.
Except for her clothes.
Except for her fucking clothes.
Took her clothes off.
Took her clothes off of her, yes. When they were not mauled, ripped up, or anything. So, well, we'll get into that. Her parents, Lindy and Michael Chamberlain, reported that she had been taken from their tent by a dingo, which we just said. Linda Chamber was, however, tried for murder and spent more than 3 years in prison. She was released when a piece of Azaria's clothing was found near a dingo lair. And new inquests were open. 2012, 32 years after Azaria's death, Chamberlain's version of the events was officially supported by the coroner.
Yep.
Now let's talk a little bit about this story, okay? We have to give, I guess, a little bit of background on Lindy and Michael. To me, they seem very eccentric. From what I've, some of the things that were said when Little Azaria came up missing, especially by the father and also by, you know, Lindy, they seem kind of eccentric. They seem like very much like religious extremists almost, or fundamentalist. And they were part of the Seventh-day Adventist
right.
Church, which was known in the 80s as kind of a weird cult-like fucking denomination.
Right.
They were not fucking looked on, you know, very well. You know, just to seem to be, you know, again, just cult-like. And to me, they seemed a little eccentric. So they decide to go out to Uluru, which is a, you know, out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Right.
And there's this big, I can't remember. I was looking for the name of this fucking rock. It's just a huge, huge rock. It's red. And they got red sand out there. And it's like, it goes up and then it just flattens out kind of deal. And that's the famous picture that, you know, you'll see when you look this up is Lindy with this 2 month, 6 day old baby that looks like she's about 6 months
right.
old. And, you know, holding her up like she's walking on the side of this rock. So to me, again, they seemed. I mean, what was your first impressions as you were looking at this case? What would you think about some of the things that were said? What your immediate, I guess, you know, impression now that you've heard them speak, meaning the parents, Lindy and Michael, and just how they dealt with this whole thing? What was your impression of them?
I don't know. It's kind of hard. I mean, they're definitely weird.
Right.
They're definitely a
Do you
weird
think
couple,
they're but... capable of doing this in like some kind of weird religious sacrifice type shit?
Well, anybody's capable.
Well, sure. I mean, so let's just dive into it a little bit. Okay, now. I don't know much about the parents. All I know is, you know, what I've seen. And mostly what you see is, you know, they're you know, religious. He apparently is a pastor in a, you know, church or something.
He's, right.
But he's just a very strange guy. Both of them are very strange to me. So, They go on this camping trip, and Michael claims it's okay to take a, I guess a 2 month, 6 day old fucking baby out into the, pretty much wilderness where they made a campsite. Now, I guess they had some small amenities around this campsite, but you're in the middle of the fucking desert. You have wild fucking animals. You probably got snakes and all them weird Australian fucking animals they got there. I think everything out there kills
dingoes.
You.
Dingoes.
Dingoes, which was very big in the Northern Territory. They are all over Australia. As you know, we looked up and found the other day, Mrs. Dredd, they're all over Australia. It's just, you get southeastern, southwestern, certain, territories, they're not as dominant.
Right.
They seem to, all be, or most up of them north. Be, up Northern Territory, right.
Except for, Tasmania.
Yes. There's a lot of them there. Not so much in the southern part of Australia, but they are there, just not very abundant. So this is where they're at. They're in the middle of fucking, dingo land, and, they're camping. And you're camping where you have these dingoes, these predators, which we looked a little bit into, these types of... dogs. And here's something. Well, I want to save that one. I was going to give a little I had a little fact up here, but I have to save that. you got these dingoes. They're I guess widely known there in Australia that they're not really, aggressive when it comes to, people. For the most part, they usually just, shy away. They may try to creep in if they smell food,
right.
But you can scare them away and usually just a loud noise. Bye bye, gang, get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
They usually run. But here you are. You decide to, because, as Michael said, everything that happens is, God's will.
Right.
So it was God's will that they go to a, wilderness where there's, packs of 20 fucking dingoes running around that, could, in fact, as we'll get into, steal shit, steal your baby. That's a fact. That turned out to be fucking true, that has happened.
Right.
Did it happen in this situation? We don't know.
Right.
So it just doesn't make sense to me. There's no other place she could have fucking gone. Really? In all of Australia, there's no place she could have gone for vacation.
Right.
As a good, Christian religious-based family, let's go to the wilderness.
Especially when it's that cold out.
It does. You have like desert lake. It could be very, very warm during the day and dip down to very, very bitter fucking temperatures right. at night. That's just how it works there. Let's take our 2 month, 6 day old baby out there and, let's. And he says, it's okay. I have done this before. Oh, have you?
Right.
Which is very interesting to me.
At least they got other kids, so.
Yes, exactly. Two of them. Is it two of them? They got Regan.
Two boys.
Regan and, Regan. What was the other one?
So, Aiden.
Aiden, yes. Yeah, Regan and Aiden. So, they're out there, they're camping, and I guess they have, in their campground, they have, a little community, like, fire pit and grill area mm-hmm. where they can all get together, you socialize, meet each other, all. Put food on the grill, and that's what happens. And I think they said just a little bit of ways, still in eyesight, obviously, but away from the fire and all the noise, was where they had their tents. And they just Lindy puts her baby Azaria.
Mm-hmm.
In her, it's like a little basket kind of deal, almost like a bassinet, but it's not like up on wheels. It's and covers her up nice and good, wraps her up because bitter cold.
Mm-hmm.
Regan goes to bed. He's laying right there, I think, at the foot of her bed, or just right there close to her.
Right.
Gives her a little kiss. What a good big brother. And they both fall asleep. They're out there, and apparently they hear, you know, the one little boy, Aiden, claims that, you know, he hears, you know, some crying.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, you know, they, you know, he thought it was, I guess, Azaria.
Mm-hmm.
It was said, I think, not only by Lindy, but by other people in the group. I think it was just another, you know, it was just two other people, as, you know, a married couple, you know, two other people. And them said they heard a large, they heard a growl, a low growl.
Mm-hmm.
And then they heard, you know, a little bit of crying. So as the story goes, Lindy takes and gets up, goes in there. Now, was it Regan that wanted beans?
I don't remember which one it was that wanted beans.
Because he may have not even been in the tent when the dingo ate your baby.
Right.
So, have to like I said, this is how we research, folks. You deal with it or you don't.
There's a lot of stuff with this.
There is a lot on this one, but I was just so excited, really, to talk about this because I had heard the, you know, the phrase. I've watched enough Seinfeld to know where that fucking came from, and it was kind of fun. But anyway, so, you know, she goes, and as she's walking towards the tent, she sees a dingo backing out of the tent.
Right.
Kind of, she said he kind of was shaking his head like he had Michael's shoe.
Right.
You know, like shaking like a toy, and backs out. And she said, you know, it's, you know, started the wrong way. She said it looked like he had something in its mouth, but she couldn't tell what it was. She couldn't really see if he had something in his mouth.
Right.
As he walked away. So she wasn't even fucking sure. Goes in there, the baby's fucking gone.
Yep.
She runs out and says, actually, she says, a dingo took my baby. Yep. And that's when the whole fucking thing started. Now, some had speculated that what she did was she went, she changed clothes into, you know, something a little more, you know, comfortable, although they say she was wearing some sort of a dress at the time the baby came up missing. I'm speculating that she went and changed out of the dress into her jogging pants.
Right.
Then took the baby into the car to, maybe, I guess, because, you know, to keep the quiet down, went in there, whatever she told these people. And then proceeded down low in the passenger seat and slit this baby's throat with a pair of scissors, which they did find a pair of scissors.
Right. There nail is, cutting scissors.
Huh?
Nail cutting scissors.
Nail cutting, yes. There is no weapon. There is no body. There are pieces of clothing, mm-hmm. but that is all that really is involved in this case.
Right.
What do you think happen? You're in your, and you know, just in your heart of hearts, are they?
I think that they're responsible for it.
You think that they are guilty of the murder?
Yeah,
I'm really swaying that same fucking way. Okay, even though, yes, and I'll bring it up now. Even though there are cases that you know, that prove this, Australians, this is from mentalfloss.com. While Australians have known for years that dingoes can savagely attack calves and sheep, the Chamberlain story about a dingo stealing their babies seemed a bit far-fetched in the 1980s. Since then, though, there have been tragic examples of dingo attacks. Most notably, in 2001, two dingoes mauled and killed a 9-year-old, Clinton Gage, on Fraser Island off the coast of Queensland. In 1998, a dingo dragged a 13-month-old Casey Rolls out of her family's tent. Sound familiar? But her father moved quickly enough to rescue her from the dog, because all you got to do is make a loud noise, scare the fuck out of them. You're bigger than them. And, you know, I mean, I know they attack shit that's, you know, bigger than them. They go after,
but they do
you
it
know,
in pack.
They do it in packs. You know, they'll go after what we say, a kangaroo, you know, 100-pound fucking kangaroo, mm-hmm. or whatever it was. A big motherfucker. So yes, a dingo can, in fact, eat your baby.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what happened here. They found some clothing.
Right.
They found like a little, booty, onesie type deal. What was your thoughts on that? Yeah, a little sleeper because all the blood was right around the fucking neck.
I just don't understand how it got off the baby without being messed up.
Right. Them dingoes, boy, they're smart.
That's what holds me up.
Yeah, I mean, how does a dingo get a 2 month, 6 day old baby out of a sleeper type deal, also out of a sweater, a button up sweater,
because right.
that was over top, but they didn't find that until about 6 years fucking later.
Right.
How did they get that? It wasn't mauled. Your zipper wasn't down. I mean, I don't understand that one either.
Even if it was a zipper or buttons, how in the hell did it get it out of it?
Right, just pull it out. I mean, you would think there would be a little bit more fucking damage done to this, like onesie sleeper type deal. Not a onesie, but a sleeper. And there was a little bit of damage on it, though, Mrs. Dredd.
Yeah, around the neck.
Yeah, it was around the neck. Wasn't there one underneath, like, the side by the armpit?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was, like, a little cut or something that they said, yes, that could be done by a dingo because they chew in a scissor-like manner. Their teeth are sharp. And they can make, and this cut, when you can see this cut on this, this cut looks like it came from a sharp instrument. It's kind of fucking, precise. It doesn't look like something a dog would do.
Right.
In my opinion, anyway. So they found that. 6 years later, I think they were looking for a missing person or mm-hmm. something.
Fell off a cliff or something.
Right. Wasn't it around that same mountain and shit?
Yeah.
And
they found... a sweater right by his body.
Right, yeah. They found the sweater, and how odd. It just fucking pops up, and it pops up right around where a bunch of dingoes' layers are.
Mm-hmm.
And then the little home, it's right there, by their home, by this guy.
And it's just stayed in that one spot for 6 years.
For 6 years, didn't fucking move. Amazing. Don't they get sandstorms when they get kind of like high winds that would blow that motherfucker all over the place?
It could.
Now, some speculated that, maybe the Chamberlains, they buried the motherfucker and then dug it up, had somebody dig it up as a way to get them off the fucking hook. Say, look, it's right by where the dingoes live.
Yep.
But how'd you think, again, and it had the same blood stains as the sleeper booty thing that the baby was wearing. There's all right around the neck. There was no damage to the sweater. They call it a matinee. Is that what it is? Just like a little knitted sweater type deal. So that's very strange. They also at first thought they found some blood inside the car. Now, I've seen reports where some say, yes, it was blood. Others say, no, it was, some kind of fucking...
like jelly-like substance.
It tested as not blood. Some say it tested as blood on the side panel or, the inside mm-hmm. of the door. So, there's a lot of speculation going on there.
Right.
I also heard, splatters of blood inside the tent.
Mm-hmm.
Claim that by Lindy that she saw the dog kind of, shaking something like it had a shoe in its mouth. That was a fucking baby. You think there'd be a little more blood than that? Because 9 times out of 10, they're grabbing it by the fucking neck.
Right. I don't know. I don't know with that one.
Yeah. You, what do you mean you don't know?
If there should have been more blood or... Well, if it happened quick, no. There could have possibly been that it...
I guess it depends on how, because if... Was it inside the tent that they found the blood that, they could tell when, it was like an arterial or however they say it, you know, splatter, mm-hmm. where it looked like it, you know, it came from a main artery where there was pressure and it shot out at a high velocity.
Right.
Was that some of the ones in the tent?
I think so.
So that would mean that the dog probably could have bit her in the neck, punctured a fucking artery. Now that you're pouring out, you know, kind of a lot of blood, whether you got a fucking tooth in that motherfucker or not.
Right.
It seems like to me. So yeah, that, I mean, all of it is just weird to me.
Yeah.
You know what's even more weird? How Michael fucking acts. 2 days, you know, they got 300 people. They kind of formed a line and just combed the area,
mm-hmm.
looking for fucking anything.
Right.
Michael wasn't there.
Nope.
Now, he said he organized it. He got it together, right?
No, she did.
She did. He didn't really participate.
Right.
2 days later, excuse me, he made a statement that, you know, again, whatever, you know, happens is God's will.
Right.
Saying things like, you know, pretty much, she's dead. And, she's dead.
Telling them they're looking in the wrong direction.
They're looking in the wrong direction. They should be looking under bushes and brush and things like that. And, you know, if she's gone, then she's with Jesus now. We can be happy now. We can go on. And, you know, we can rejoice in the fact knowing that little Azaria is in the arms of our Savior Jesus Christ.
Right.
Same thing. Now I said it a little bit different. Of course, that's not verbatim. That's for entertainment. That's weird to me when people start acting like that. Now, mm-hmm. you're talking about. I still think the baby was older now, but maybe not. It looks a hell of a lot older in fucking 2 months in these pictures. So I think somebody got that wrong. To have a baby missing, you know, you would think, for one, you would be at the front of the line on every search.
Right.
You would be heading that motherfucker.
Right.
You're not going to be sitting in a hotel room and then on the second or third day be like, don't worry about it. It's over.
Right. She's dead.
She's dead, but she's with Jesus now. That, to me, is just fucking creepy. That is one of those things that really, you know, kind of turned me in the direction of thinking like you, Mrs. Dredson. That's I think they did something here. I really do. You know, who's to say she didn't have a fucking knife in her fucking tent? You know, went in when she fucking changed, grabbed the fucking knife. She gets rid of the knife. It's when, you know, no weapon was found. No murder weapon was found.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No body was recovered. Can a fucking dingo eat a, you know, 2 months old? Yes, there's a lot of soft spots. Maybe, you know, fucking squish, you know, a 2 month old fucking head. And I'm sure their jaws are pretty fucking strong.
Right.
You know. So, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, what's your final thoughts on this? Because, you know, it went on, and I guess long story short, June 12th, 2012
yeah.
was when they finally
declared her
legally dead. She was not murdered. They got him off the hook. Of course,
yep.
Of course, the Chamberlains. How would you feel? Now, I don't know, you know, in comparison to, you know, like United States or other countries, but Australia's pretty big country,
right?
You know? When 77% of the fucking country you live in believe you murdered your fucking baby,
yep.
You know you're gonna have a whole lot of shit to fucking deal with. you know, they had people driving by their house honking their horns, yelling, "You murderers!" I mean, they basically called it a trial by media.
Mm-hmm.
The media really kind of had a lot to do, had a hand in how the people were thinking.
Right. They call it was it the case of the century?
Yeah, right. The trial of the century.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like O.J. Simpson. A lot of, you know, the people have compared the magnitude of this case because it affected, even though it happened in the Northern Territory, in one small part of Australia, it right. affected this entire country. So everybody was, you know, watching, you know, their TV. What's going on now with this bitch? What's right. going on now with the child killer? And so the whole country was enveloped. You know, it enveloped the whole country, I should say. And so, yeah, it was kind of like an OJ thing. Everybody around that time was, you know, watching the OJ trial.
Right.
I mean, it's on every channel.
Oh, yeah.
It was fucked up. I mean, I watched it. I dug it. I like watching kind of, you know, high profile fucking court cases. I kind of dig that. As long as I'm not in the court. It wouldn't be high profile. Well, I might be high, but anyway. So I think that's a so now they, I guess they, you know, I don't know if they live happily ever after. I still think,
well, they kind of weird saying that it was that the baby was ate by a dingo.
Yep. The baby was.
The dingo ate your baby.
You're exactly fucking right, Elaine. The dingo did, in fact.
Well, so they say.
So they say. I am not a subscriber to that theory. Neither is Mrs. Dreads. Let us know what you think. Look into this story. All you gotta do is put in dingo ate my baby.
Yep.
Case or dingo ate my baby documentary. You will find numerous podcasts. You will find, because it's been all throughout, you know, the media, pop culture. Of course, as we've been playing, Elaine Bennis from Seinfeld. Tell us again, Elaine.
The dingo ate your baby.
Thank you. Thank you, dear. let's see. Meryl Streep played Lindy Chamberlain in a movie called A Cry in the Dark.
Yep.
So Academy Award nomination. So yeah, she was I don't know. The story was also dramatized in a miniseries, Through My Eyes. That was one that I started watching. Mm-hmm. I think I told you about. And I don't know. It's been mentioned in The Simpsons. It's been mentioned in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's been in the Rugrats movie.
Yep.
And of course Seinfeld. They've used references in The Office. The 2008 musical Saved, the line "Did that dingo eat her baby?" That's Australia. Appears in the song "Make It True." So there's a lot of things to check out. A lot of little miniseries. That miniseries, Through My Eyes, I think you check out on YouTube. I think that's where I found it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these you probably could, but check them out. This where I'm getting all of this is from Wiki. That's 2 months, 16. I think that's bullshit. Anyway, episode 80.
Yep.
I think we're about done. My voice is about done. I'm fucking done. Let us know again over there at nightlivingdreads.com. You can drop us a comment there on the podcast. On the podcast episode page. On every episode on nightlivingdreads.com, you mm-hmm. can make a little comment. We'll get it right away. You can let us know something over there on Facebook group, Night Living Dreads. Let us know what you think about this. What side of the fence are you on? Some of the facts, some of the evidence is kind of overwhelming on both sides.
Right.
That's what makes it a little fucking tricky. Don't be so quick to say, yes, it was a fucking dingo. That's what they said. That's you. That's you. It's okay. That's all right. Don't forget, come over there. If you're not a patient, become a patient in the insane asylum.
Right.
Over there, Spotify, Stitcher. I'm so not prepared. I'm on the wrong sound pad board. I think I got it right now.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, thank you, Mrs. Dreads.
You're welcome.
That was fun. We'll be back next week. I don't know what the hell we're going to talk about then. I'll figure something out.
We have some ideas.
We always have some ideas. We always have things brewing. So we'll talk to you guys later. Come join us on Facebook again. Let us know what you think. Later.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.